The honor of introducing Richard T. And I've known Richard T. since day one, literally. And what a growth and what a change. But I'll tell you, he's been amazing through the whole process. And he is truly a family member of mine at this point. But I watched him come into this program and grab hold of it like his life depended on it, which it did. And then I watched him take that and carry it to everyone he touches. I have never seen him say no to somebody. His car is always full of let's go do recovery, right? He just participates in everything. His life is full. And you just want to be around him, right? Because he just has this glow. And it's a recovery glow. And I'm honored that he calls me friend today. So come on up here and tell us about it.
I'm going to use this because it's up here, but I'm Richard, I'm an addict. So first of all, I want to thank the HACNA committee for asking me to come share my experience, strength, and hope. It's an awesome topic. Me being here is it. I can pretty much stand up here, say I'm an addict, and go sit down. Y'all know my story, right? We all lived it. We all had the same experience, whatever it was that got us here. But I'm going to tell you what Narcotics Anonymous has done for me since I got here. My clean date is June 19th, 2011, coming up on 10 years. In Narcotics Anonymous, they say there is no fronts, but unless I don't live to get the 10 years, I will get my 10 years because I know today I don't have to pick up. So that's a guarantee, right? As long as I did what I did to get where I am right now, that I don't have to use. And it wasn't a simple ride, so I know that no matter what comes up, I'm going to be okay. So Debbie said she's known me since day one, and that was day one of me stepping into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I was in the treatment center, and it was kind of a weird situation where I really didn't even think I belonged there, but I stopped using on Father's Day, June 19th, 2011, I'm sitting in a jail. I had got my family had sent me some money, and I proceeded to have a nice party on the night before Father's Day to celebrate the fact that I'm an addict, I guess, because I don't know what I was celebrating. I was in jail trying to use drugs to hide whatever it was that I was dealing with in that time, and I thought I was celebrating being a dad, right? So I woke up on Father's Day, June 19th, broke. I spent every last dollar that they sent me. And I was embarrassed and I was ashamed and I didn't know what had happened to me, right? I only had planned to use one time, just that one time, and then it just went until there was no more, right? And I probably would have continued to spend money if I had some more. And so I knew that there was a problem, right? So I sat on my bunk and I prayed to this God that I had kind of thought had abandoned me, right? Because I always knew there was a higher power. I never doubted that. I didn't create the forest, the heavens, the earth, and all the other stuff, right? And so I know that there was something out there that did. But I just didn't think that I was worth anybody believing in. And so I thought my higher power had abandoned me. So I prayed and I asked for some help to not stop using. That's crazy. Because I wasn't done using drugs. Not one bit. I just wanted to stop while I was in jail and spending my family's money. But when I got out and I had my own money, that was a different story, right? Well, 2 days before I got out, my lawyer came to see me and gave me some paperwork. And he said, I need you to sign these papers. It's for you to get registered into treatment. And this is my first time in recovery. I didn't know nothing about Narcotics Anonymous or any 12-step programs or anything like that. And treatment was definitely not my game plan. I had 2 days left to get out, and I was going to go back on a run, right? But my lawyer told me I got a choice. I'm either going to do 28 days in treatment or go do my 18 months back in the feds that I owed the feds. And so I'm smart enough to know that 18 months is longer than 28 days, and I signed away my 28 days. But when I signed that paper for 28 days, not once did I think that I was not going to look at that 18 months. I've never finished probation. I've never finished anything in my entire life. So I knew that I was going to go and pay the feds that 18 months eventually. But I wanted to get out of 28 days, right? And so I did. I took the 28 days. And I sat in this treatment center for the first 2 weeks, listened to insanity in my head. So there was a meeting every night. This was pre-COVID. There was a meeting every night in this treatment center, and different fellowships would come, right, whatever. But people would share their message, and I didn't get involved. I didn't hear it. I was sitting in, they called it relapse row. I was sitting in the back row by the door and like going through the game plan in my head of what was going to happen when I got out and counting the days left, right? I mean, I did 7 years in the federal penitentiary. When I was 24 years old, I walked into the federal penitentiary, and I didn't get out until I was 32. So the game plan is all I know, right? And so I was working on my next game plan, and 2 weeks in, somebody came to carry a message, and they had what this first time that I'd been there, they had this speaker night where the guy got to sit up there and talk for the whole hour. And he was loud. Right, I'm probably really loud because I got a microphone, but I don't even need this microphone. And so he was really loud, right? And so I was sitting in the back row, and he was saying stuff, and I heard it for the first time that I had been in treatment. He hit that right frequency in the middle of my insanity, and he said something that I identified with, and he was talking about things he had done in addiction, right? That he stole from his mom's purse. That was a very, very first thing that I ever identified. Being in the program Narcotics Anonymous. And I said, wow, like this dude's got nice clothes. He's up there. He's got a smile on his face. He's happy. And he just told you one of the most embarrassing things that I've ever done in my entire life. I stole from my mom's purse with more money in my pocket than she had in her purse. I didn't need to steal. But my disease said I had to. Right? And that was crazy for me to hear somebody go up there and share something like that. And be okay with it. I'm not sharing that I stole from my mom's purse because I'm proud of it. I'm sharing that I stole from my mom's purse because I know what that feels like. And there's hope on the other side. Like I used for most of my life because I thought I was a worthless piece of crap because of the things I had done, not knowing that I was an addict. I didn't believe I was an addict. I've never lived under a bridge. I've never been homeless. I've always had money in my pocket. I lived the lifestyle and all that other stuff. And so I've never put a needle in my arm. I've never put drugs up my nose. There's a lot of things I've never done. And so how am I an addict? Well, I didn't know that until I opened up a book and identified with what the nature of the addict is, right? But first I had to get some hope, man. And I heard it from that guy. And he talked about stealing from his mom's purse. And I was like, all right, cool. Whatever, I did that. I'll never tell anybody about it. And then he says that he sold his kids' Christmas presents for drugs. I was like, wow, that's crazy. My daughter was 3 years old. Her birthday is 2 days after Christmas. And one year I come home after a long run of being gone for a little while, a couple weeks or whatever it was, and I show up at the house with all this money and all this presents and all this stuff to celebrate with my kid. And I probably spent maybe 5-10 minutes there in the living room with her, like with the stuff, and then I just disappeared to the back to go get high. And I come out for however long later that it was that I had been using, right? I come out to come check on her, and the house is tore up a mess. I give a 3-year-old thousands of dollars worth of presents, right? And it's just scattered, trashed everywhere. And I got mad, right? And I started picking everything up and I'm putting it in the trash bags, and I'm like, you don't deserve this. You don't respect what we just gave you and all that. I'm talking to a 3-year-old, right? But I'm really talking to myself, not knowing that, right? That you don't deserve this and all this other stuff. I'm going to teach you a lesson. You don't want this. I'm going to get rid of it. And so I didn't sell my kids Christmas presents, right? But I took them all, put them in a bag, and I went and gave them away. Like, I still had to look at my child every other time and think about, like, what I realized that I was trying to teach her something that I had no idea how to teach myself. Responsibility, right? And so for years, I would cringe when I would think about like the things that I had done to my kid. And so then he said that he had slept with every one of his girlfriends. I mean, every one of his best friend's girlfriends. So I was like, all right, I'm sold. Like, that's me. To a T, I knew exactly what that felt like, whether I wanted to or not. Right. That's always happened. I stopped having friends, like male friends like that real close, because I knew it was always going to end up messed up. Right. Something was going to happen. So I heard enough to identify, right? And he told the rest of the story, and then he says he's got like 33 years clean, and I was like, wow, all this hope that just built up just came crashing down, right? Like, I couldn't get 33 minutes clean. Like, how am I going to get 33 years, right? Now, I was not using when I was there, but like, I was using in my head, waiting for the rest of the 28 days to run out so I can go get high, right? And so I caught this dude after a meeting, and I asked him a bunch of questions, and then I remembered all the answers that he gave me, and the next time he was there, I caught him out in the parking lot, and I asked him the same questions, and you know why I was asking him the same questions? Because I was looking for a lie. Some reason to prove that what he was saying was not true, that when he would leave, he would go get high, right? And I know that if he tells me the same story, he was telling me my life story, so he couldn't lie to me, right? And so I wanted to catch him when he was changing it up. A different day, a different amount, a different time, whatever it was, I needed something different so that I knew that he was lying. And he knew that. He called me out. He's like, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to find a reason why this won't work. Why don't you try to find a reason why it will? He said, how much time you got left? I said, man, I got 14 days, right? He's like, well, why don't you make these 14 days count, right? Like, go get a sponsor, work the steps, get involved in service. So get a sponsor, work the steps, go to the meetings and get in, like, not just sit in the meeting, like, raise your hand and get involved in the meeting, right? Even if all it is saying, hey, I'm Richard, I'm an addict, and I need some help, right? And then he said, be of service to Narcotics Anonymous and get connected to a higher power. And so in this treatment center where I was at, almost every meeting that they say, like, that somebody would share about, if you don't like what Narcotics Anonymous would give you, we would gladly refund you your misery. And so I heard it all the time in my head, like, how do you even know I'm miserable? Like, you don't know me, right? I didn't even know I was miserable. I thought that I liked the life that I had lived. I was comfortable in it. And so I did that, and I set out to prove that Narcotics Anonymous wasn't going to work. Because I like to get high. I wasn't done yet. Like, I said, if I get a sponsor, if I work the steps, if I go to meetings, if I get involved in service, and I get connected to this God of my understanding, I'm still going to end up in the dope house. Because I've always ended up in the dope house. I did, like, our literature talks about jails, medicine, religion, and psychiatry. Like, I tried them all, man, in all different forms. I tried it all. Wanting to do something, to be different, right? Like, and none of it ever worked. So how is this stupid program going to work, right? Some 12 steps and some books and all this other, like, I didn't have any idea what I was even looking at, right? I'd look at steps on the wall. I had no idea that, like, there were steps in my life, right? There's a difference, right? Reading the steps and working the steps is all getting you prepared to live the steps. But I didn't know that. I was new. Right? It's hard to explain that to a newcomer, that it's not about working the program, it's about living the program, right? Our literature talks about, and it says that never have I seen an addict live the Narcotics Anonymous program used. And I was reading it wrong, like, so how come all these dudes that have sponsors and work the steps go out and get high? It's because they're not living the program. Working the steps is different than living the steps, right? But I had to learn that through the process, man, of me trying to prove that it wasn't going to work. I did it 100% to prove that it wasn't going to work. If I do everything y'all tell me and I get high, it's NA's fault, not my fault, right? Like, it's just like the religion thing, right? I did everything the religion thing told me to do, man. I went to church, I tithed, I did all the stuff, and I still ended up getting high. And I still did all the I went to prison, and that didn't keep me clean. I did all the stuff, right? And I still got high. So how is this going to change? So I worked the steps, man. Here's the deal. The kicker is that in the treatment center, all they told me was to get a sponsor. I didn't know that there was a difference in the programs. And so the first guy I asked said no. The second guy said no. I was about to give up. The guy says, look, man, the reason why is because I work here. I can't sponsor people that work here. Ask me in 2 years, but until then, get somebody else to work the steps with. And I was like, so he gave me a little bit of nudge that I needed to ask somebody else. And I asked the third person, and they said I would be honored. That was the first person that ever told me something like that, that they would be honored to help me do anything, right? And so it was weird, right? Like, honored? What's up with this dude, right? So I started working the steps, and I was getting through the process, and then I had came up to a point where I needed some help. And I asked somebody in the treatment center, hey, man, like, what is this? Like, I don't understand these questions and all this stuff. They're like, so what does the flat book say? And I said, what is a flat book? So I said, this is what he gave me, the assignment, and I showed him. They're like, well, that's the other program. That ain't NA. And I was like, whoa. Like, I don't know the difference, right? They said get a sponsor. They didn't tell me where to get the sponsor from. And so here's the deal. Like, I was already on a path that I liked where I was at, and so I just continued to work the steps. I've never been to a meeting in the other fellowship, not because I'm knocking the other fellowship, but that's just where my higher power led me, right? But I worked the steps through the other fellowship first, because that's where I was at. And I, when I finished that, I asked him, okay, look, look, man, I would really like to work the steps through the NA program. He said, well, I've never done that. And I said, well, I think I need to find a different sponsor. And the reason why is because I said, I don't know where this came from. It wasn't me. I said, I think I'm going to stay clean long enough that I'm going to want to help somebody else. And I'm going to want to help them through the program that I go to, right? That wasn't me. That was completely my higher power talking like that, right? And so I did. I got another sponsor and I started working through our steps. And when I did that, it was a lot slower, right? It was a lot more, like, focused on what I needed to hear, right? I got to get immersed in the Narcotics Anonymous literature. It was a challenge. I've been challenging the program since I got clean. If I do this and I get high, it's NA's fault. It ain't my fault. And so I would do it. They say, pick up a phone if you want to get high and call somebody. I'm like, nobody's going to answer my fucking call. Nobody wants to hear me. And nobody can help me. If I want to get high, what they tell me is not going to change what I want to do. And so I wanted to get high, and I would pick up the phone, and the dude would be like talking to me. And I'm like, well, first of all, he picked up the phone. I didn't expect that. Now what do I do? Right? Because they said, if you call, they'll pick up the phone. I said, I'm going to call somebody, and they're not going to answer, and I'm going to go get high, and it's their fault because I tried. And so they picked up the phone. And they talked me down off the ledge. It wasn't a real big deal. I thought it was a big deal. Man, I stubbed my toe when I first got here. I was going to go get higher, right? Anything that happened, I was ready for an excuse. And so all they need to do is just keep me grounded for a minute, right? Just for a minute. Because I already had a little bit of clean time. I stopped using in jail for 5 months. And so the cloud had been lifted when I got here, right? I was ready to do a little bit of work. So step one came into my life right where, like, when I no longer wanted to use drugs, well, what do you do now? Right? That was kind of easy. I got here not using drugs. I still wanted to, but I still had it. And that was a big difference for me, right? But what else can this program do for me, right? And so at a year clean, I challenged the program again. Because they told me that it wasn't about the drugs. Right? It's about the lifestyle. And I said, all right. I had smoked cigarettes for a long time and I wanted to quit. And I picked a date that I was going to quit, which was my clean date. So the day I got a year clean, I decided to stop smoking cigarettes. And I challenged the program really, really well. I thought I was going to fail, right? Because I was like, nobody I hang around with is doing drugs anymore. So not doing drugs is a lot easier. But everybody at the meeting is still smoking. Right? And they don't want to quit because I want to quit. But I made this decision, and I did, man. I started working the steps just like I did on drugs, on smoking a cigarette. And people didn't understand it. The new guys didn't understand the disease was manifesting in my life in a different way. And when I went to pick up a white key tag, they freaked out. They're like, this dude just relapsed? Like, he goes to meetings, he's of service, he got a sponsor, and he's getting all this other stuff, right? And my sponsor advised me when I did that to not explain what was going on yet, right? Because I didn't want to, if I failed in my mission, I didn't want to, like, discourage the newcomer, right? And so I wanted to, like, put some effort first before I decided that I had really stopped using cigarettes, right? I mean, that was my drug of choice at the time, right? And so I did, and when I picked up my 6 months, I kept picking up key tags for not smoking, right? When I picked up my 6 months, I explained the situation, why I have multiple years and I'm picking up a white key tag. I mean, I'm picking up my 6 month key tag, right? And I had to explain that I was working on a different area of my life. I was surrendering something different than the drugs. So on the 19th, I'll have 10 years clean, but I also have 9 years without a cigarette, right? That's proof right there, because these people still don't quit smoking cigarettes, right? And just like the drugs, I think about cigarettes more than I think about drugs, right? Like, but I still know that no matter what the feeling is, I don't have to use, right? So that step one, like, came to play in my life in early stages, right? Like, I knew I was powerless. I was ready to do something different. I picked a date and I went with it. And I surrendered. And just because I had some experience with the drugs, when it got really, really bad, I knew that if I just stayed, I didn't have to use cigarettes, whatever it was. But I also saw a lot of, through the process of the sixth step, through that, I saw the rest of the manifestations in my life from the not smoking cigarettes. I became a sunflower seed junkie. It was insane. Like, there's some people in the rooms that were around when I did that, and they were everywhere. And every nick and cranny and corner of my car, everywhere in my tool pouches at work, I couldn't live without a sunflower seed, right? And when I started working the sixth step, I realized that. I didn't see it, because I just needed sunflower seed, and I didn't know where it was coming from, right? And then so I got to, I set out on some exercises that my sponsor had guided me to, right? And so I didn't get to pick out my character defects anymore. I had to ask somebody else for them, because I don't see my character defects, right? And so I had to go around and ask my close people what character defects I portray, right? And they're like, well, wow, this sunflower seed seems like a fucking problem. What are you talking about? I don't see no problem in it, right? Thank God for the guidance of my sponsor, right? Like, I mean, I didn't see the problem. How do you have a solution to a problem that you don't see, right? And so I got that guidance, and I got to realize what was going on in my life, and I got to fix that, right? It's manifested itself in a whole bunch of different ways since I've been clean. But when I'm ready to identify it through the process, and it doesn't have to be when I'm working the sixth step, right? It's when I'm living the sixth step, right? When I see things going on in my life, I can identify them. I know it works. I know without a doubt that this program, I'm done trying to prove that. Y'all can start doing it on your own. Whatever keeps you clean, I don't care. Like, but I'm done trying to prove it. I don't want to get high no more. I got a pack of sunflower seeds in my car that's been in the glove box for a couple of months. And somebody saw me eating sunflower seeds again the other day. And they're like, oh my God, is it starting again? It's funny, right? Like, it's really, really funny. But like, it sits in my glove box. They're not all over my work car and all over everywhere anymore. It's one pack. And I was like, I'm okay, right? I'm not moderating sunflower seeds eating, right? but I could still eat a sunflower. It wasn't killing me. It wasn't the sunflower seeds. It was my addiction. It was a manifestation of all that I needed something different in my life, right? And so one other thing that's gone on through my recovery is every time I've done with steps, I change sponsors. The very first time that I changed sponsors from the other program to this program, I learned something different. I stopped thinking that I knew what my sponsor was going to tell me, and there's no reason to ask my sponsor for some advice, right? I knew what he was already going to say, and I got to a point where I got comfortable and I didn't want to ask him. And so when I changed sponsors, I didn't know what that sponsor was going to tell me. And so when I did that, I changed to another sponsor. And then I finished and I changed to another sponsor. And I was like, I like the way this is. I learned a new way to work the steps, and I get to incorporate my own with my sponsees. And so I continue to do that. I've changed sponsors. So I just started another round of steps with another sponsor, right? And I like it because when I have something going on in my life, I can reach out. This is my path, right? If you've had a sponsor for years and years and years, and that's the way you do it, that's your path, right? But for some reason, I was guided to do this because I'm way too smart to stay clean by myself. Like, I know that without a doubt. If I get comfortable in a situation, my complacency kicks in and I don't have to ask you for the answer, I already know you well enough to know what you're going to tell me. And that's my disease telling me what to do. But I learned that through the step working process, right? And so learning something and applying it is a whole different thing. And so I had been with this sponsor for like 2 years, two and a half years. And it was like one of the hardest things I had done was to like change sponsors this time, right? I felt like, so he had never had a sponsee that had gone through the steps, right? And he had never had like a relationship built with somebody like the way we built our relationship. And so I felt like I was like letting him down for something, right? But when I asked somebody else, like, they reminded me that just because I'm done working the steps doesn't mean I have to be done with his life, right? Still a clean contact, still somebody that I can have in my corner. And it has. I've seen him. The funny thing is I've seen him more since I switched sponsors than I did when he was sponsoring me, right? Like, because the whole COVID thing hit and he was, like, health issues would keep him at home, right? But, like, now he's steadily crawling out of the meeting life, right? He doesn't go to the meetings, but he still comes and hangs out and socializes with us, right? And so I still get that relationship. But so through the six-step process, I got to identify my character defects, right? And then, like, staying clean and then getting to my ninth step was really, really difficult for me, because when I first got clean and I first worked steps, I didn't know how to say that I was sorry. I don't know how to make amends, because to me, an amends was just telling you that I was sorry, right? And that I wouldn't do it again, right? And so I made a whole list. I mean, I had a long list of people that I had screwed over, because it was my first time in recovery. I had been years and years and years of active addiction. I had screwed over so many people. And I was afraid to, like, go to these people and try to make amends to them, right? And so one of the things that I was grateful for is my sponsor would tell me, like, don't seek them out. Like, let the situation arise itself in your life, right? Don't seek them out. And I was like, well, that's easier because I can avoid them, right? I don't ever have to look at them. I don't have to make the amends. And so one time, this is where I know that the steps in action are different than the steps, like, on paper. Because I had an amends that I had to make to somebody, and they showed up to somewhere that I was at. And before I made this amends, my sponsor says, you know, before you do something, like, pray about it, right? I was like, all right. I was scared. I thought I was going to, like, screw something up or make it worse or remind them of something I did, whatever it was. And I prayed about it, and for some reason, like, I felt like this wasn't the right time. I knew they were on my list. I knew that it was important. I knew that they deserved it. But I also felt like it wasn't the right time. And so I didn't make that amends. And I continued to go through and, like, just live my life. The amends, the good thing is that step 9 doesn't have to be finished before you go to 10, right? Like, the whole amends thing was able to be put in play on God's time, not on my time. And so I did that. I continued to work through the steps. And then when I got to my 12th step, the situation, I didn't look for it, I didn't seek it out. That person, like, came, like, reached out to me for some help for somebody else that they knew that was an active addiction. And so the conversation came up, and I talked to the last time that I almost had that option to make the amends, what I found out was they were in a really bad place in their life. Right? And they needed a little bit of time. I didn't think about that. Like my amends needs to come in the right place for them as well as the right place for me. Right? Because I don't know what it was going to do, how it was going to affect them if I would have tried it at that time without praying and just, oh, it's here, I got to go. And so we had the conversation and we got to do the whole amends process, right? But through the amends process of that situation, like, once again, it came out way better than I thought it was going to come out, right? They already knew about all the stuff. I thought they didn't know about anything, right? They already knew about all the stuff. They had already accepted all the stuff, and they were really proud of where I was at the moment. And so they told me about all the hope that I had given them through the life that I was living. So Debbie was talking about it when she came to introduce me about how my recovery has affected the rest of the people in my life. There's people that I know that have never been to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting that the life that I live has affected, right? My sponsor, like my sponsees that I've worked the steps with, their family doesn't come to meetings, but their lives are better because my sponsees' lives are better, right? And so I get to realize that my kids' lives are better, right? Because my daughter doesn't go to NA meetings, right? She was already too old to be drugged to the meetings with me and all that stuff, but her life changed. I got here and they told me go to school, right? I didn't know what to go to school. I didn't even know what to do. They gave me the guidance of going to school, and so I went to school. And when I did, like, my daughter was struggling at the time in high school, and she was like, I just want to get my GED. And so I had to go through the process to give her some experience, strength, and hope, like, just continue to fight for it, right? And she did. She graduated. Last year, my girlfriend decided that, like, she wanted something different in her life, and I told her, go to school. She had been fighting it for a while, and she decided to go to school. And now she's doing that, right? Like, I got all this experience, strength, and hope from the people that were before me. I didn't invent this program. I didn't make this stuff up, right? I'm not repeating anything that I made up. I'm just doing the things that they suggested when I got here. Get a sponsor. If you're in this meeting, you go to Narcotics Anonymous meetings, get an NA sponsor. Right? I'm not knocking the other program 100%. I'm not knocking the other program. But if you're in this meeting and you go to NA meetings, man, get an NA sponsor. Right? You're going to stay clean long enough to help somebody else out. Get the sponsor and work the steps. Don't just get a sponsor and then disappear. Get the sponsor and work the steps. Go to meetings. When you go to a meeting, don't just go to a meeting. Like, get involved. Hey, I'm Richard. I'm an addict and I need help. Let them pass that. Even if you've been to a meeting before and you've never talked in that meeting and said that you need help and you don't have a phone list, or if you have a phone list that's been passed around and you lost it, get another one. You don't have to be your first day to get a phone list. Raise your hand and say, hey, man, you know what? I'm here. I need a phone list. And use it. Call those people. Become of service to NA. I don't care how it is. Right? I don't care how it is. Just be of service. Get a home group. Just pick somebody else up for a meeting. Right? Whatever it is, be of service. And get connected to a God. Like your God of your understanding, right? Because one day you're going to be in a place where you can't pick up the phone, or even if you do pick up the phone, nobody's going to be available, and you need that higher power to help you, right? My higher power has always been there in the form of y'all, right? My group of drug addicts is my GOD, right? That's what the only reason that I'm still here today, man. I'm done trying to prove that NA doesn't work. It obviously works in my life. I'm here, and I'm an addict that didn't want to be here. I wasn't done using drugs. I was still ready to go get high. And for some reason, I just stayed. I have one white key tag besides the one that I picked up for my other issues in NA, right? But I haven't used since I got here, man. And so if you want to know, like, how the program works, like, just work it. Just work it. I can't really even share anymore about me, how the steps work in my life, me just being here, man. I know some people that reached out and asked me to share at this meeting, and that's obvious that I have some experience, strength, and hope, regardless of what my disease tells me, right? So just stay, man. If you're here and you're a newcomer, like, welcome. We're glad you're here. Keep coming back. I'm Richard Mack. That's all I got.